The following is a home program given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on June 25th, 2010, in Auckland, New Zealand.
When Prabhupada was first giving those lectures at 26 Second Avenue, one of the young boys who came by the storefront, he saw Bhagavad Gita as it is, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And then the next week it was still Bhagavad Gita as it is. He was surprised, because in those days it was like, you know, hodgepodge. You know, Tibetan, Bhagavad Gita, Tibetan Book of the Dead, you know, so many things, the I Ching. So he was surprised. Oh, 2 weeks in a row he's speaking of Bhagavad Gita. That was very unusual in those days, because back in the 60s, the countercultural youth, they were into Gita, but it was just like one of many, many, many things. So these questions are being the paper and pencil being passed out. Any questions you have, jot them down on the paper, and you can hand them in at the end, and I'll answer them. So we'll be speaking tonight on Bhagavad Gita. Even though we've spoken on Bhagavad Gita, and we've heard and spoken Bhagavad Gita hundreds and thousands of times, one may think, again, Bhagavad Gita? You see, but actually it's not like that. Just as Krishna is Navayovanam, he is an ever-fresh youth. Bhagavad Gita is also ever-fresh. In other words, just consider if you could pick one flower. Normally you pick a flower, it's very beautiful, some nice like a gardenia or something. It's very fragrant, very beautiful. But after a while, the aroma goes down, the beauty goes away, it decays, you see. So just imagine a gardenia you could pick, and the longer you hold it in your hand, it becomes more fragrant and more beautiful for all of eternity. Infinitely more beautiful, infinitely more fragrant. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So this is Bhagavad Gita. Even though I've given so many hundreds of lectures on the Bhagavad Gita, every time I speak on the Bhagavad Gita, it's more sweet, it's more ecstatic. Because this is the nature of transcendental Krishna Gita, much chitta mad gita prana. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered unto me. And they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text number 9. So, it's like that. The shanti charamanti cha. They get sweeter, they get more taste, more nectar, more juice out of this topic. The more it is discussed. About 30 years ago, Prabhupada was writing in his report, that means that he talked about 50 years ago. So that means 80 years ago. He described in the Indian village, in the Indian town, just like in his own childhood. In the evenings, all the people would go, every evening, they would gather, go to some place, and they would hear Ramayana, Mahabharata, every evening. There was no question of cinema, or nightclub, or these garbage things, you see. It's every night, Ramayana, Mahabharata. He said they would go home discussing Ramayana, Mahabharata, and at night they would dream Ramayana, Mahabharata. So it's the same Ramayana Mahabharata, you see, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, etc., going on for thousands of years in Indian culture. Why thousands, millions of years, you see, it's going on in Vedic culture. And it never gets old, it never gets worn out. It gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. So this is the wonderful transcendental quality of the topics of Krishna. They have supernatural potency, actually, to transport you through the coverings of the material universe into the pastimes of Krishna. These pastimes, these topics of the pastimes and the teachings of Krishna, they are non-different from Krishna. And simply by connecting with these teachings, you're already connected with Krishna. And Krishna doesn't mean just Krishna. It means Krishna and everything in relationship with Krishna. This like in the name of Krishna, you can chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Within that name of Krishna, uttered in this way, in the authorized way from the Acharyas, everything is present. All the names are present. Not only the Krishna name, but there's unlimited millions of names for Krishna. They are all present within that sound vibration of Krishna. 1,000 names of Vishnu, and there's actually millions and unlimited billions and billions of names for Krishna. And all of those names are present in that sound vibration of Krishna. Not only are all the names present, but all of Krishna's pastimes are also present within that one vibration, or that two syllables, Krishna. All the pastimes of Krishna are present. Lifting Govardhan Hill, Brahma Vimohana Leela, every pastime, Rasa Leela, everything is present. So, simply by chanting this Hare Krishna mantra, and by engaging in the Bhagavad Katha, you see, hearing and chanting the glories, teachings, pastimes of Krishna, then you can actually enter into and participate in the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. As Prabhupada told me one time, he said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. So how will we become qualified, you see? Right now we're contaminated by lust, by anger, by greed, by madness, by illusion, by envy. How will we become qualified to see Krishna face to face? This cleansing process, chanting and hearing, the name, fame, form, entourage, paraphernalia, qualities of supreme, all-powerful, all-beautiful, all-renounced, all-knowledgeable, all-wealthy, and what's the last one? Famous. All-famous Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we really don't have to go anywhere. There's no need to even go anywhere because it's all right here. And simply in those syllables, Krishna, everything is present. Everything. There's nothing you can achieve in this world which comes even close. Even if you became Brahmaji, by dint of severe penances and austerities, you're able to achieve the post of Brahmaji. That is simply nothing compared, simply garbage compared to one who develops love for Krishna. You see, what to speak of being a CEO, some lowly prime minister, a CEO, or some multi-billionaire like Bill Gates or something like that. That's nothing. Even being a Brahmaji is nothing. Mommy? Compared to one who develops love for Krishna. Why? Because Krishna becomes the personal property of that person who becomes his pure devotee. Do you know that? Yes, it's a fact. Krishna becomes the personal property of that person who becomes his pure devotee. If you become completely sold out to Krishna, then he becomes completely sold out to you. Just like in the Yashoda, Damodar Yashoda Leela, you can see. And Krishna has put himself under the direction of Yashoda. When she pulls out her whipping stick, Krishna becomes completely scared. You see? Krishna was very much afraid of Mother Yashoda's chastisement. He puts himself under the control of Mother Yashoda. There's also the pastime of that thief. You know that pastime of the thief who wanted to steal Krishna's jewels? You know that story, yeah. He also got scared at that time. The thief, he had gone to a Bhagavatam class seeing, and maybe there's some, maybe I can rob some people, you know, they're not looking, I can grab their purse, you know, when they're hearing the Bhagavatam. Sneak into the Bhagavatam class and, you know, make out with some rupees in the Bhagavatam class. But he went in there and he heard the speaker talking about this little boy who wandered in the forest of Vrindavan all alone with the valuable jewels, but no parental supervision. All alone, a little kid, but all these valuable jewels. He went, wow, I'm going to go to Vrindavan and become a millionaire overnight. So he headed out to Vrindavan, you know, for days he was walking across India. And, you know, it's a huge area, actually. It's like from Vrindavan town to Kamyavan. I mean, even in a jeep, it takes hours to get there. So he was wandering all over Vraj. For how long, I don't know, but he was wandering. And finally, Krishna was so kind. Here's this person, come to Vraj, steal my jewels. Okay, I'll reveal myself to him. Can you imagine? He had no bhakti. He simply had kam, lust, for money. He wanted to become a millionaire by stealing. Krishna was so merciful. Because he was so intense in his desire to see Krishna. Krishna said, all right, let me reveal himself to this rascal. I'll reveal myself to this rascal, you see. Just imagine, to some rascal character wanting to steal his jewels, he reveals himself. So, of course, now the thief, he's ready. He says, Krishna, you have so many valuable jewels. Can you give me some? And then Krishna, again, he played the role of being Mother Jasoda's, you know, chastise son. Oh, no. Mother Jasoda, she'll scold me. She'll become very angry. I can't give you any jewels. This way, you see. He was so scared, thinking of Mother Jasoda. So this is Krishna, you see. He puts himself, of course, the thief actually became purified at that point. Then Krishna said, you can take as much as you want. So the point is, Krishna was controlled by Mother Jasoda's anger. And he also agreed this thief could have whatever he wanted. Whatever you want, you can take. Now you're a pure devotee, you can take whatever you want from me. It's all yours, you see. So in this world, everybody is struggling to be the enjoyer, to be the controller, you see. But just imagine if the supreme controller and the supreme enjoyer of everything is your personal property. Just imagine if he's under your control. In all of his property, you can enjoy it yourself. And who needs money? If that person who is worshipped, who's being massaged by Lakshmi Devi, his Narayan expansion is being massaged, by his lotus feet are being massaged by Lakshmi Devi at every minute. Who needs money even? If you have Krishna consciousness, whatever money you need, it will come. Vaham yaham. You know that verse? 922 Bhagavad Gita, yeah. Prabhupada elaborated on that verse. Of course, it translates that, you know, for those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating in my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. Prabhupada elaborated, he said that Krishna will personally deliver to your door whatever you need. And we saw that in Prabhupada's pastimes. He wanted that Fisher Mansion, multi-million dollar Fisher Mansion. How many of you have seen the Fisher Mansion in Detroit? Anybody seen it? It's a real palace. I mean, gold bathtub knobs. In the bathroom, there's gold knobs. I mean, it's a real palace. So I was sitting there, and you go down into the basement, and there's a yacht garage. It's like you hear, you can go down into your garage and drive out from your car. They had a yacht garage. You go into the basement, you get into your yacht, you open the door, you go out into the canal, and your yacht from your basement out into the canal in your yacht. They had two yacht bays in the basement. I mean, it's a real palace. It's really, really, I mean, just every square inch is just super opulent. And it was sitting there. The whole neighborhood had turned into a slum. And but within the walls of this property, it's an amazing facility. And Prabhupada said, if we took that property, the whole neighborhood would change. And it did, in fact, happen. The whole neighborhood changed. The city came in. They saw the Hare Krishnas went in. They had faith in the neighborhood. The city went in and tore down all the ghetto. And it said, now it's a nice neighborhood. But Prabhupada didn't have any money. In fact, when they were negotiating with the real estate agent, the real estate agent practically had a heart attack when Prabhupada asked him to donate the money, the mansion. He said, we are beggars. We're asking you to donate this property. The real estate agent was meditating this huge commission, right? And then the Swami says, we're asking you to donate this property. And he couldn't believe it, you know. Nobody ever asked like that, but Prabhupada asked. But actually, Prabhupada wanted that property to use for Krishna, and immediately the money came. You see. Immediately. Two disciples, Ambarish and, what's her name, the Mataji. It's an interesting story because she was the daughter of Walter Reuther, the famous person who organized the labor unions against the motor companies of Detroit. They were like arch enemies. Henry Ford and the Ford family and Walter Reuther were the arch enemies because he organized the workers into unions, you see. And it was a big... But now the arch enemies, the Reuthers and the Fords, came together to pay for this mansion for Krishna. And he's the great-grandson of Henry Ford, Alfred Ford, Ambarish Prabhu, and this Mataji was the daughter of Walter Reuther. They pulled their money to buy this wonderful facility. So, in this way, if we become completely sold out to Krishna, and whatever we need to serve Krishna, you see, and that's, in other words, for someone who's completely sold out to Krishna, they have no life except to serve Krishna. They have no desire other than them. Their whole life is a life of service to Krishna. It's not that, well, you know, I said service to Krishna is something I do some of the time and I have other things any other time. No. Their entire life is merged in devotional service. Even their ordinary occupational activities are all merged in devotional service. Isn't that what Krishna says? Yat kadoshi yadishnasi yat jahosi dadasi yat yat tapashashi konteya tat kadushva mudarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, give away, as well as whatever austerities you may perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering unto me. That's it. So, for someone who is very serious, who really wants to do that, you think Krishna will help him? Or you think Krishna will make it hard on him, make it hard for him to do it? What do you think? Krishna will help him or not?
Krishna will help him.
That's right. Krishna's been waiting for millions and millions of births, watching us, going, actually accompanying us as a super soul through millions and millions of lifetimes, wondering, waiting, and hoping when this living entity will take an interest in me. And you think now if we take this life and say, okay, Krishna, I know I've been mistaken for millions of births trying to be the enjoyer, but now I'm serious, I want to be your devotee, I want to become completely pure. Do you think Krishna will help? You better believe it. He'll give you all help. He'll give you a spiritual master, he'll give you Vaishnava association, he'll give you prasadam, he'll give you deities, he'll give you the holy dham, he'll give you Prabhupada's books, he'll give you unlimited facility. And he'll even personally arrange everything that happens to you in your life in such a way that every single experience you have 24/7 will facilitate your spiritual progress. I mean, I'm talking about everything, at every second. Not just when you go to the temple at every second. If someone who is serious to become a pure devotee and go back to Godhead, Krishna will arrange it at every second. Things are happening in such a way to best facilitate you getting out of this nightmare as soon as possible. See, all we're really doing is waking up from a nightmare. That's all we're really doing. What is a nightmare? I'm the body. I am male, she is female, I want to enjoy her. You see, this is a nightmare. To think I'm this body. I'm identifying with a gross bag of material elements which has absolutely nothing to do with the self. Absolutely nothing. Just so I can enjoy this so-called sex enjoyment, you see. Just so I can have the so-called sex enjoyment. I'm willing to give up my sense of who I really am and enter into this false sense of identity. It's crazy. It's madness. Why try to enjoy the senses when we are not the senses? Does that make sense? Yeah. That makes sense. Since you are not the senses, it doesn't make sense to base your happiness on serving the senses. If there was a mirror sitting here beside you and they offered you a plate of food, would you give it to the reflection of yourself in the mirror? Would you put it in your mouth? How many of you have ever put the prasadam in the fed the prasadam to your reflection in the mirror? Or have you always taken the prasadam directly yourself? Yeah. He's always taken it. Good, smart boy. You see. He's always taken it directly himself. He's never fed the prasadam to his reflection in the mirror. But yet we're doing the same stupid thing. Instead of actually serving the real need of myself, the living being, I'm trying to serve the false representation of the self, the material body. I'm putting all my energy into serving the false representation of the self. This is called madness. Stupidity. Idiocy. Sheer foolishness. But what can we do? That's the way we were trained, isn't it? We were trained to think that way. What was the first thing we heard when we came out of our mother's womb? Look, it's a boy, it's a girl. I mean, give me a break. We were conditioned to identify with this body from the very moment we came out of the womb. Even within the womb, they have a test now. They can tell whether it's a boy or a girl. Even then, you're hearing the talk. Oh, it's a boy. We can't wait for him to come out. It's a girl. We can't wait for her to come. We've been so much misled by our conditioning. So Krishna consciousness is not artificially imposing something upon us. You understand this? It's not artificially imposing anything on us. It's removing all those artificial impositions that have been imposed upon us. It's simply removing all the garbage that has flooded our consciousness. That's all. It's simply getting back to your original, natural, pristine consciousness. Before you got completely contaminated by lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. Kama, krodha, lobha, madha, moha, matsarya. It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting how we've been polluted. But it's absolutely wonderful. It's simply wonderful and wonderfully simple. Krishna consciousness is simply wonderful and wonderfully simple at the same time. All we have to do is plug in. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And if we're not fully plugged in, just get that connection a little better. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Sometimes it happens, you know. We're trying to plug in, and it doesn't plug very well. Just like I was, the other day I was trying to plug in something. And my computer, in some place in Fiji. And my little adapter kept falling out, so I had to adjust that thing to where it stayed plugged in. So that happens to us. We try to connect with Krishna. We try to plug into Krishna, but we keep somehow the connection keeps falling. You know, we have to adjust that connection so we can stay plugged in 24 hours a day. That's the point. We're all trying to connect with Krishna. That's very good, but we have to expertly connect with Krishna. Because somehow the my little adapter kept falling out of the thing. It wouldn't stay in, but I had to just angle it in such a way that it would stay in. You see? So when you're trying to connect, connect in such a way that you remain connected. That's why we have our regulated principles. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no meeting, no gambling. Because as soon as you indulge in these, you get disconnected immediately. Hare Krishna mantra connects. These sinful activities disconnect. Even if you're chanting, if you disconnect, you see? Even if you chant, even if you're chanting, but you're engaged in these offenses, then that disconnects you, even if your chanting is going on. Somebody asked me, don't these Muslim terrorists go back to Godhead? I mean, you know, they go Allah Akbar and they fly the airplane right into the World Trade Center. Allah! Don't they go back to Godhead? Won't they go to Goloka Vrindavan? You know, it doesn't really work that way. Nama Parad doesn't qualify you to go back to Godhead. We have to develop we have to chant the holy name free from the offenses. Because that will actually connect us with Krishna. Prabhupada said you can go on chanting for millions of years, but if you're committing nama parad, you'll never go back to Godhead. Never. So we have to learn how to chant without offense, how to avoid these 10 offenses. And what's the first offense? Hati matta. That's the worst of them all, you see. To be offensive towards devotees. You may say, well, what's the big deal? I mean, I just chant Hare Krishna. What's the big deal if I'm a little rude to a devotee every now and then, you know? I chant Hare Krishna. I'm chanting around, following the principle. What's the big deal if I'm rude to a devotee? Well, what does Krishna say in the Adi Purana? Yeme bhakta jana parata na me bhaktashtate janaha mad bhaktanam chiye bhaktas te me bhaktatam matamata. Yeme bhakta jana parata osana prita. The one who is my devotee, and what's the next line? Na me bhaktas. He's not my devotee. You see, the one who is my devotee, he's not my devotee. You say, well, how Krishna can say that? I'm his devotee. That means I'm his devotee, right? No, Krishna says. If you're my devotee, you are not my devotee. But if you're a devotee of my devotee, then you're my devotee, you see. So we have to learn how to be devoted to the devotees. And say, well, I'm devoted to my Guru Maharaj, but not those other devotees, you see. What does Narottam Das Thakur say about that? Anande bolo hari vajavrindavan Shri Guru Vaishnava pade marjayaman. Ecstatically chant Hare Krishna, worship the Holy Dham. Of course, the Holy Dham is also manifested here as your temple, you see. That is also Vrindavan's expanded form, you see. Doesn't this mean the Holy Vrindavan in India, but the ISKCON temples are expansions of Vrindavan. So you also should worship the Holy ISKCON temple. It's Vrindavan manifestation here in your town. And he says, and always worship within your heart the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnava. So if we want to connect with Krishna's, if we want to connect with Krishna's holy name, then that means we have to connect with Vaishnavas also. And what does connect mean? It means loving relationship. We have to learn how to love the Vaishnavas, sincerely love them. You see? That means act for their welfare, not that what can I get from them. Like one devotee said, yes, I came to this temple and I got zero cooperation from the management. As if he was the Lord, you know. No, not that man. How can I serve the Vaishnavas? This is Prabhupada's sister's mood always, Pishima. We used to call her Pishima, or auntie. Her name was Baba Tarini. That would be too familiar for us. We never called her by her name. It's like we never called Prabhupada Bhai Charan, you see. Or Bhai Charan Arvinda. Always with a respectful title, so she was Auntie Pishima for us, you see, Prabhupada's sister. But her mood, she was always trying to serve. What will you eat? What will you eat? She always wanted to cook for the devotees. Always wanting to serve the devotees. That was Pishima's mood. Such a nice service mood Pishima had. She just wanted to serve, 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 serve. She was so humble that when she'd get up from sitting somewhere, she would wash it with water. That by sitting there, I've contaminated that place. Now I have to wash it with water because I sat there and contaminated it. Very humble Vaishnavi. Great personality, Pishima. Our empty. Trans-spiritual empty Prabhupada system. So in this way, if we understand that how much we have to be in the mood of serving the devotees, trying to make the devotees happy, see that all the devotees are happy in Krishna consciousness, you see, that mood, you see, is a very important thing. How to see that all the devotees are happy. Let me do everything I can to make all the devotees happy in Krishna consciousness. That will connect us with Krishna very powerfully. If I'm only thinking of my own relationship with Krishna, then what am I called? Kanishta Adhikari. The one who cares about other devotees, he is called Majjhama Adhikari. And the one who becomes empowered to deliver the whole world, he is called Uttama Adhikari. So there are these three levels of devotees. And we should all strive to go to the top. Actually, we should go from Kanishta to Majjhama, and then we should try to go from Majjhama to Uttama. Completely pure devotee. All of us should strive for this. This is what Prabhupada wants. He wants empowered Vaishnavas. You know what he told us in Mayapur? He said, now we are 10,000. He said, then we will grow to 100,000. Then to 1 million and then 10 million. They said there will be no scarcity of acharyas. So where are we going to get these acharyas? Are we going to bring them in from India? No, we have to become the acharyas. Not that we, you know, bring them in from the third world, like hiring some pujaris or something. To hire some, bring in some acharyas. You know, give them a residency card. No, we have to be the acharyas. That's the point. And said Prabhupada wanted 10 million acharyas. Well, we all have a lot of work to do, don't we? Conquer our lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. Well, we got our work cut out for us to be what Prabhupada wants us to be, acharyas. Ideal living embodiments of the Bhagavatam. Person's Bhagavatam. There's book Bhagavatam and person Bhagavatam. That person is an acharya, is a living embodiment of the scripture. His every action, his every thought, his every word, his every deed is Bhagavatam. We saw this in Prabhupada. Prabhupada wants us to be like that also. Living embodiments of the scripture. So, anyway, I don't want to go too late here. There's so much unlimited nectar we can talk. I mean, when Shukadev gave Bhagavatam class, he went on for 168 hours. But I don't think we have that much time tonight. Did we have 168 hours? No. I'm flying out tomorrow to Wellington. I know I don't have 168 hours. So I will stop here now and ask for the questions. Pass the questions forward. Do you have it written down?
Yeah.
Let me read it.
It's really hard to understand.
It's hard to read? I have a flashlight. Okay. Yeah, let me get my flashlight on. Thought I had my flashlight in. Looks like I left it. I have another flashlight here. Divya Govinda's flashlight. Okay. Okay, good. Argument, supernatural activities. There's an argument given that supernatural activities are myth. Okay. Mm. In other words, they're saying there's those who say that supernatural activities are simply mythological. That means that they are saying the only thing that's really true is what we can see right now with our gross senses. But yet, the dog can hear things that you cannot hear. You hear those dog whistles, you can blow them, and your neighbors, you won't wake anybody up, but your dog can hear. He has sharper hearing than a human being. So is that, you may say, well, that's a supernatural whistle, because nobody can hear it. No human being can hear it. See, what's supernatural for us is natural for the dog. It's beyond our natural ability to hear that whistle. But the dog can hear. So one man's natural is another man's supernatural. You understand? So just as a dog has the ability to perceive, to hear things that we human beings cannot hear, similarly, a person who has awakened his divine consciousness within, who has awakened his Krishna consciousness, he develops supernatural perceptions, which for him are natural. But for us, they are supernatural. So even the scientists, they do things which appear to the layman to be supernatural by using scientific instruments. So actually, in one sense, there's no such thing as supernatural. Because a person who has fully awakened his divine consciousness, for him it's completely natural to see God at every minute. So supernatural is just a vantage point of one who is whose senses, whose perceptions are limited by the covering influence of the three modes of material nature. Okay, next question. Okay. What should I do when a devotee comes to me to discuss his troubles, problems, and in the course of the discussion he starts offending and criticizing other devotees? Well, I would immediately point him out. I say that, you're talking about your troubles and your problems, but I see that you have a very negative attitude against the devotees. This is really the root cause of your problems, Prabhu. I mean, it's not that you have to agree with every devotee and say that every devotee is absolutely right in everything they do or say. That's blind faith. No, but we have, even if a devotee, even if we have a difference of opinion, we still have to respect the devotees. They're not ordinary persons. I mean, there are certain devotees that I may not get along with that well, but I still respect them as sadhus, as saintly persons, because they've dedicated their lives to Prabhupada's mission. So we have to always have that love and respect, even if there's some difference of opinion or some clash of natures. Those things may be there in a big organization like this, kind of naturally. But still, we have to be detached from that, be on a higher level, and always appreciate this person has given his life for Prabhupada's mission. So if somebody is too much critical of devotees, that's the source of their problems, actually. So that you should tell that devotee, this is your real problem, you're too critical. So become less critical and more respectful, and all your problems will go away automatically. How do I expertly connect with Krishna? Well, you don't have to worry about expertly connecting, because just get connected and automatically you're expert. In other words, connection is the perfection. To be connected with Krishna, of course it can be taken in different ways, but to be expertly connected means 24 hours, 100% connected. Okay, we'll take it in that way, but yes. Expertly connected with Krishna means fully connected and with every thought, word, and deed in all times, places, and circumstances. That's expertly connected. Well, you have to take help from Guru, because on our own we don't have the strength to do that. That's a thing. We do not have the strength on our own. We require the help of a spiritual master to help us get connected. That's how we do it, by Guru's mercy. I have a pet cat, so I need to give him away if I become Krishna conscious. In Vedic culture, the animals were there. They were given love and affection, but they didn't live in the house with the people. It's like I visited a home recently in Romania, and they are my disciples. Husband and wife are my disciples. Second initiated by me. So they got a dog, but not for some mundane affection, because there are thieves in the neighborhood. By keeping a dog, it protects the house from the thieves. So they treat the dog very nicely, but he doesn't live in the house. He has his own dog house in the backyard. And he's a very nice dog. He's very friendly and to the family members. He was very friendly to myself and Mataji also. But if any stranger comes, he barks like crazy and scares them away. So there's nothing wrong with having an animal, but because they're dirty by nature, they're not to live in the house. In Karmi society, they sleep in the bed. They have the cat and the dog sleep in the bed with them at night. See, this is dirty. Don't do like that. Don't sleep with your cat. But actually, the cats and dogs should not be in the house. You can make a nice arrangement outside, especially, I don't know what they do for cats, but dogs, they make dog house so they can tolerate the winter. But actually, their bodies can handle, they're more equipped to handling cold than we can without being disturbed. So no, actually, the cat can be kept, but the cat should be... Actually, cats, I don't know if they like to even stay outside. I never had a cat when I was a kid. We had dog. But dog, you can have dog house and keep them outside, and they're happy outside. I don't know if cats do that. But actually, having animal in the house is not an all Vedic culture. Demigods want to be born in Bharatvarsha, earth, to progress spiritually in human bodies. It means material body has some value. Yes, the material body is very valuable. If it's a human form and if it is engaged in the service of Krishna, it's very valuable. It's a great boon to have a human body. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. It sounds so easy, but not so easy to do, knowing that Krishna is the taste of water, or color of rain cloud. Knowing is not always remembering. How to always remember Krishna? Well, the first thing is you have to have a strong desire to always remember Krishna. You have to really be convinced that to not remember Krishna at every minute is suicide. It has that conviction. It's suicidal to not remember Krishna, because I may die at any minute. If I'm not always remembering Krishna, I take the risk of taking birth again in another material body. If one understands the absolute urgency of always remembering Krishna at every minute, and one begs Krishna, "My dear Lord, I want to always remember you, but it is very difficult for me because my heart is full of so many material desires. My dear Krishna, please help me." You see? If one feelingly takes shelter of the Lord in this way, Krishna will give all help, and he'll bless you with his remembrance 24/7. Whenever you slip, and ask Krishna to help you. Nectar of Instruction said that we must use our mouth only to talk about Krishna. How is it practical to do this when we are at work? Well, you should, just like Bahadur Bhaktivinoda Thakur do it when he was the magistrate in Jagannath Puri. He did his ordinary material work, but he did it very expertly, and he was very highly respected. So, did Arjuna chant japa on the battlefield of Kurukshetra? No, he shot arrows. He didn't have a bead bag with him on the chariot that day. Of course, he didn't. That wasn't his butt doing 16 rounds. He had a different sadhana. But the point is that if you engage your occupation in the service of Krishna by offering the fruit of your work to Krishna, that is as good as chanting Hare Krishna. That is as good as talking about Krishna. So if I have a job as a manager of a chemical factory, I should do that job very expertly. Very expertly. So I'm well paid and well respected. and so that people will look up to me as a leader. So I can also tell them about Krishna. When we're off of work, they're very interested to know, what is your philosophy? How are you so successful? How are you so happy? How are you so peaceful? How are you so blissful? I've never seen such a manager like you. I've never worked with such an amazing person. It happened to me. I have a student. He's one of my disciples. He's a very successful businessman in Eastern Europe. He owns the two leading radio stations in his country. And one of his own employees is now my disciple also. Because he respects his boss. His boss is a devotee. So just by working for my disciple, Gurudas, now this employee, now he is Damodarda. They had a relationship. He is my boss, and he was very appreciated the qualities, the saintly qualities of his boss. So he took to Krishna consciousness also. So you should be a very first-class worker or a first-class manager or an entrepreneur, whatever you're doing, whatever your occupation. You should be first-class. Prabhupada said, actually, he told like them, he said that a devotee does not walk around in a cloud. He works well with the touch of an expert. He always works well with the touch of an expert. So whatever a devotee does, whether he, you know, his occupational duties also, he should be very expert. So people respect and want to know, well, you know, what makes you so successful and happy? Similarly, how do we think of Krishna at all times? Well, you should think, well, somehow Krishna has put me in this situation where I'm earning this money. What did Bhaktivinoda Thakur say? He said, I'm now earning money for Krishna's household. So if you turn your house into an ashram as a place of spiritual cultivation, then when you go to work to earn money to pay your rent or your mortgage or your house insurance, whatever it is, you're supporting an ashram. So in that way, if the money is going for Krishna, whatever extra money you have, you go to the temple, and the money you need to spend for yourself, it's all done in a Krishna conscious way, then you'll automatically be able to think of Krishna 24/7. A devotee is sad. What is a good way to cheer him up? If you're blissed out, and you give your association to the devotee, he'll also become happy. You be happy. You be overflowing with Krishna consciousness. You be so absorbed in Krishna consciousness, you're like a volcano of bhakti bliss, spewing bhakti lava bliss wherever you go in all directions. And then you'll be able to share up anyone and everyone. Even the karmis will go, wow, what makes you so blissful? See, how to control the mind and improve the chanting. Well, there's two ways to look at it. One is, like the yogi, you know, yato yato nishchalati manaschanchalam ashtaram tadastitam nyayam yaitadatmanivavishang niyat. That's one way to approach it, how to improve the chanting. Wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. But there's a higher level way of controlling the mind. That's the way of the bhakta, given by Rupa Goswami. You simply have to perceive the holy name through the eyes of Rupa Goswami, as given in his wonderful shloka. Tunde tandavati vritin vitinute tundavali lamdiye karna krodha kadambani gatayate kunar vadev jaspriham cheta prangana sangani vijayate sarvendriyanam kritim no jane janita kiyadbir ramita krishne iti varnadvai. You know that verse? Krishna said, I mean, Rupa Goswami says, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables, Krishna, have produced. Because when I utter these syllables, Krishna, the name These syllables appear to dance within my mouth, and then I want to have thousands of mouths. And then when those names enter the holes of my ears, I want to have millions of ears. And then when the name enters the courtyard of dances within the courtyard of my heart, my mind becomes completely conquered and I'm stunned in a state of transcendental wonder. Let's see. If we can see the name through the eyes of Rupa Goswami and understand, what does he mean anyway, millions of tongues and millions of ears? Do you know what he means by that? I'll give you an example. Let's say that you really excelled well at school one day, you see. The teachers wanted to give you a special present to reward you for your wonderful day at school, how well you performed in school. So you came, and they said, go out for an hour and come back, and we'll have your present waiting, your prize, your award waiting for you. And you find, they take you to the temple room, actually. There's a special present for you waiting in the temple room. You go in there, say, this is just for you, Prabhu. And you find 100,000 gulab jamuns. The temple room is completely packed with buckets and buckets of gulab jamuns from the floor to the ceiling. 108 gulab jamuns, you see. Just for you, Prabhu. Now, we're going to let you, during your lunch break, we'll let you go and enjoy your 100,000 gulab jamuns. You can say, you know, I really appreciate the gesture, but I don't think I can really enjoy 100,000 gulab jamuns. I mean, I just got one little tiny mouth and one little tiny belly. I mean, what can I do? But if you can give me the boon of 100,000 bellies and 100,000 mouths, then I can enjoy those 100,000 gulab jamuns. You understand? So in this way, Rupa Goswami is trying to help us understand how much nectar there is in Krishna. That one little mouth isn't enough. Even if I had hundreds, thousands, and millions of mouths and hundreds, thousands, and millions of ears, it would not be enough to take in even an insignificant fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of the infinitesimal nectar contained in that utterance of Krishna. So in this way, if you can understand what is actually there in the sound pervasion Krishna, your mind will already be controlled. You'll just be thinking, how can I get more of this nectar? How can I get more of this nectar? You just become greedy. When you sit down on your bead bag, you'll be like the ultimate Sunday love feast, you know, the Janmashtami. Right here, I got this ultimate, you know, 10,008 preparation feast right here in my bead bag. Wow, let me go into it. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. If I said, Prabhu, whatever you do, you know, don't let your mind get distracted from the Sunday love feast. Well, hey, that's not a problem. I never had a problem of getting distracted from the Sunday love feast, you know. So, of course, in the old days, nowadays, somehow we've gotten more mass-produced, but, you know, it's just a few preps, but it used to be 20... Jayadeva Swami told us what it used to be like, the Sunday love feast at 26 Second Avenue. I mean, it was pretty astounding, you know. It was like 30 or 40 preps. He said, you'd have to be nuts not to join, he said. 30 or 40 preps. 30 or 40 preparations for every Sunday they served out 26 Second Avenue in the old days under Prabhupada's direction on how to do a Sunday feast. 30 or 40 preps, you can imagine. Anyway, and you can imagine, you know, how nicely they were prepared us. That Prabhupada had taught the devotees how to cook. He directly trained, especially Kirtanananda and Achyutananda. They were the first ones to get trained up how to cook by Prabhupada. You can imagine, they were told by Prabhupada, this is how you cook. You can imagine how good the cooking must have been under Prabhupada's, you know, watchful eye. This is exactly how you should cook it. So is deity worship more important than Harinam Sankirtan? If no, then why they say deity worship is stressed in ISKCON? Okay. The answer is yes and no. Both things are true. There are two rails on the track. So which rail is more important? If you take out either rail, your train will derail. So both, you can't say one rail is important and the other one isn't. You really can't say them. So both rails are important. Of course, ultimately the Harinam is more important. But the chanting of Hare Krishna, both individually and collectively and publicly, that is more important. But it is difficult for us to chant purely. Deity worship is there to help us to chant purely the holy name. That's a thing. This is not the Yuga Dharma. Yuga deity worship is the Yuga Dharma in the Dwapara Yuga. In this age, the chanting is the Yuga Dharma. So why are we taking the thing from the previous Yuga? Because taking the deity worship will help us to purely chant. Why? Well, if there's no deities, then why even get up? Of course, now they don't even with deities, people don't get up. I can't understand. It's inconceivable to me how devotees cannot come to Mangalarti, for example. But actually, just like one disciple, one girl, and she's my aspiring disciple in Peru. Yeah. She said, Guru Maharaj, I would like to have some deities. Is it okay? I said, yes, if you'll have Mangalarti every day. Otherwise, don't do it. Because deity worship helps us. If one has deities, you have an obligation. You have to wake up and do your deity service. You can't neglect the deities. So we have a tendency to sleep, to not get up. But if we have deities, then we have to get up, because it's our duty to wake the deities on time. You see? We have deities have to be woken in the early morning for Mangalarti. So we accept deity worship because it will help us to chant. And deity worship is all auspicious. Actually, Sankirtan is deity worship, because what are we doing when we do Sankirtan? We're trying to bring more servants, attract more servants for the deities. So you can take deity worship as the absolute highest thing. You can take Harinam as the absolute highest thing. You can take deity worship to help to make Harinam better. You can take Harinam to make the deity worship better. So either you can take it from either way. Prabhupada, in his final days in Vrindavan, said, there is nothing more fortunate than being pujari of the deities. And if you think about it, if you think it's an idol, then you think, well, what's the use of going? But if you understand that's Krishna, that is Krishna actually present, then you understand there's indeed nothing more fortunate than being the pujari, because I get to go and associate with God himself. Prabhupada warned us in Los Angeles. He warned us. He said, he warned us, if we didn't take it, the deity worship properly, the day will come, we'll think, yeah, that old man came and he gave us this big burden. See, Prabhupada is some old man who came and burdened us with this thing called deity worship. He said, don't be puffed up. He warned us. Should not become puffed up. We have to see this is Krishna himself. And he's very kindly alive. Come so we can serve him. Okay, when meditating the Maha Mantra, what image should we meditate on? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. We'll say what? But if I think about Krishna lifting Govardhan, my mind gets more attracted and I'm seen to be better situated then. But wait a minute. Govardhan Leela is already there in the sound vibration of the name. You don't have to. If you want to, relish the pastimes of Krishna, I guarantee you, if you will focus on the name, the sound vibration, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, with full attention, you know what's going to happen? I told them in the school this morning, there's a mystic television in your heart. Prabhupada explained this in his Bhagavatam purport. There is a mystic television within your heart, in which a supernatural TV, in which all the pastimes are going on right now in full technicolor. You see? with stereo sound. Surround sound, actually. Why stereo sound? Surround sound. You see? With aromas and everything. So this Hare Krishna mantra is actually a doorway into the spiritual sky, and all the pastimes, all the names, all the qualities, all the associates, everything, related, all the acharyas, through the name you connect with absolutely everything. So don't underestimate the name and think, well, I got to think about Krishna's pastimes. You know, think about Krishna kissing the gopis, you know, instead of meditating. That's more interesting for my brain than Hare Krishna, Hare. I just want to think about Radha and Krishna having a big hug and kiss, you know. I don't want to think about Hare Krishna. No, think about Hare Krishna. Because if you can't focus on the name, you'll become a sahaja. I'm warning you. You have to focus on the name. That is the Yuga Dharma. If we don't focus on the name, we want to jump somewhere else for so-called bhav. You see? One more. Harinama, Harinama. Not Harilila, Harilila. It is Harinama, Harinama. That is the injunction via Naradiya Puran. So just have full faith in the name that everything is there. Take complete shelter of the name and you'll realize everything. You'll experience everything. Okay, nectar devotion. Incense sticks should not be offered without flowers. Why? This reminds me of when there's also a rule about not wearing blue in front of the deities. Prabhupada was asked in Los Angeles, and Prabhupada said, because that's a rule. That was the answer. Because that is the injunction, therefore you should. That's the reason, because that is the injunction. So that's one answer. Why we should, incense sticks should not be offered without flowers? Because that's the injunction, that's why. In other words, it's not our position to, I mean, we can always ask why the injunction is there, but if there's no answer, that doesn't mean we reject the injunction. It's the injunction coming from Prabhupada's books. Well, but we can also, this one is, you can reasonably say, well, it's not, I mean, what is incense without flowers? It's incomplete. I mean, incense is very nice, but it doesn't have the visual beauty of a flower. I mean, the smell is there. This one you can reasonably analyze. I mean, incense is great. It's wonderful, but does it compete with a flower? Incense has a certain type of sweetness, and the flower is a different type of sweetness. So it's like saying, well, can't we have a feast with just rice only? I mean, I've seen especially Indian people love rice. I've seen even when they have pizza, they have rice for the pizza. But if we just had rice only, you see, would that be a feast? No, there has to be variety. Variety is the mother of enjoyment. So it's incense only. Where's the variety? At least there should be incense along with the flower, a little bit of variety. So that's some reasonable understanding. So, all the question well is run dry, and that means it's time to move on to the next part of the program. And we're so happy to come back again. It's always a great pleasure to come here to your home, Prabhu. It's always a wonderful atmosphere here, a very sweet, wonderful atmosphere. Krishna consciousness. There's really nothing like being here in the Association of Devotees. I mean, this is like being in the spiritual world with Krishna and the Cowherd Boys, and the gopis, and the cows, and the calves, and the flutes, and the butterflies, and, you know, Govardhan and Jamuna. It's all, there's nothing so sweet like this. So please continue in this way, as you're doing now, going deeper and deeper into the nectar of Krishna consciousness, and flood this entire country with Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Jai. Jai.